And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. It is Labor Day weekend. I want to wish each and every one of you a very happy and healthy holiday weekend. I hope you have a fun time with family celebrating the so-called end of summer, although you'd be hard-pressed to convince me here in Texas that summer is over because, well, we got 29, something like that, straight days of over 100 degrees. The yard here at the Lazy Bee Ranch is brown, burnt to a crisp. No rain, just lots of heat and humidity. Being an old dude on the football field on Friday night, I can tell you it's very hot and humid. Thankfully, we've had a couple nights on the field where there's been a breeze, so it's not been terrible. But if you've been to Texas in the middle of summer, you know it gets mite hot down here. And, well, it is what it is. Comes with the territory. Been here most all my life, so we just keep dealing with it. Thank God for air conditioner, right? Well, we have secrets this week. We are up to volume number 359. And there are, how do you say this lightly? You can't. This country has gone to hell in a handbasket. We are populated with so many lunatics, nut jobs, freaks, and this is one of them. This is a tranny, a dude that wants to be a chick, mental health sufferer. He volunteered for a Democrat, their congressional campaign. But he's no longer a volunteer. He's not even welcome at this campaign headquarters. And this in spite of the fact that the candidate who is running is also a dude that wants to be a chick. The former volunteer is named Teha, T-E-H-I, Della Ruel from Wisconsin. He was exposed by Town Hall. That's one of the websites I go to. Great site for news. The columnist Dustin Grage posted a video of this nut job on social media. There's a video that shows Della Ruel sitting in front of a whiteboard that has a slogan written across it that says, quote, kill your local Republicans, close quote. Della Ruel declared that, quote, we are doing trans jihad, close quote. He is calling all the other tranny freaks to go out, take up arms, and shoot and kill Make America Great supporters. He said, quote, we're going to make it so they will be the ones that have to walk down the street in fear, anxiety, and worry. This is their new reality, and it's never going to change, close quote. But the pushback was plenty. As you would imagine, most sane people are going to disagree with this statement. Well, then he had to get on a video and defend himself. He claims that he was only saying out loud what people are saying quietly. Well, maybe so. If you consider all of the violence that has been perpetrated in this country by this mentally ill group of people, the transgender cause is a long and bloody, and getting longer and bloodier, record of violence. There was the tranny that attacked the Catholic church and school in Minneapolis, killed 2 children, wounded 17 others, transgender. There was the transgender person in Nashville, chick who wanted to be a dude, 2023. She massacred school children. There was another dude that was transitioning to female, arrested in Henderson, Nevada. The authorities claimed that he had hatched a plot to massacre countless innocent victims in Las Vegas. But Delarue was fired from the DeVille campaign. DeVille told the New York Post, quote, "They were actively creating a dangerous situation around my campaign. I want to be clear that I do not accept or condone violence or threats towards anyone," close quote. But if you consider the political wing that DeVille represents, the Democratic Socialists of America, they have not once shied away from celebrating violence if it suits their agenda. A jihad on MAGA. Now, the funny thing is, he's declaring a Muslim holy war, a jihad, against those who support Make America Great Again. Muslims behead homosexuals. I don't understand the disconnect between idiots like Delarue thinking that they're going to create a jihad and they're associating, I guess, with Muslims who think that their ilk need to be beheaded. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't compute, as they say, right? Well, here's another one. This one was on thejc.com, written by Steve Lind. Israel's heritage minister, Amichai Eliyahu, told Charedi radio station Kol Barama, quote, "The government is racing ahead for Gaza to be wiped out. Thank God we are wiping out this evil. We are pushing out this population that has been educated on Mein Kampf." Close quote. Wow. He said the quiet part out loud, didn't he? But he was rebuked almost immediately by Bibi Netanyahu. Netanyahu said, quote, "Eliyahu does not speak for the government I lead. He is not a member of the security cabinet that determines the conduct of the war," close quote. Even though we all know that is the objective, they can't let it out of the bag this early. We've been talking about it on this program for years. Since Trump 2.0, we've talked about Mar-a-Lago on the Med, and that will be where Gaza is currently located. So, I don't know why they're upset with this dude. He's telling everybody the truth. The ambassador, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, is Yekiel Leader. He issued a similar statement, quote, "The quotes attributed to Minister Eliyahu are wrong, foolish, and totally unrepresentative of the government and people of Israel." Really? Then why are you continually bombing the Palestinians in Gaza? Why have you driven them from each quadrant south? Seems to me that you plan a takeover, a hostile takeover, as they say, on Wall Street anyway. I don't know that it could be any more hostile than bombing to smithereens structures, tent cities. I think the dude was actually telling the truth. And Netanyahu and the Israeli prime minister to America are lying through their teeth. I know the number of you have contacted me via email, phone calls, saying we need to impeach Trump. Where do we go? Who do we have that isn't corrupted? I mean, Trump's entire cabinet is pro-Zionist. So who do you replace him with? J.D. Vance? J.D. Vance is going to continue whatever Trump started. We were hornswoggled. I was. I'm not going to lie. Although the alternative in Kamala Harris was downright frightening. If we could have enough support for the constitutional presidential nominee, maybe Tucker's third party, if he gets it up off the ground, that would actually be America first. Maybe then we can start making a difference. I know Pastor Chuck Baldwin was the nominee for the Constitutionalist Party. I'd vote for Pastor Chuck in a heartbeat. They have rigged the system so much that this two-party system that's in place is slowly but surely destroying this constitutional republic. Well, we're going to move on. This was on the peoplesvoice.tv. Sean reported on this. He said the Trump administration, through the National Endowment for the Humanities, is funneling the largest grant in this agency's history. How about $10 million? This money is going to the Jewish American Neoconservative Tikva Fund. Did you get that? This is an Israel First group dedicated to advancing, quote, Jewish excellence, close quote. And Trump's administration just forked over $10 million in grants to this Israel First organization. The National Endowment for the Humanities also recently updated its notice of funding opportunities to place schools, colleges, and universities on notice that if they see financial assistance from this group, the agency will hold them accountable for tolerating discrimination or harassment against Jewish students. Not all students, Jewish students. Now, Sean posts this query, and I'm going to read it to you what exactly as he wrote it. He wrote, quote, if this grant was to study the pathology of anti-blackness, it would be derided by the GOP as wasteful DEI lunacy. Rather than dismantle the whole DEI apparatus as Trump ran on, his administration is instead retooling it so it only works for Jews. Tikva has an upcoming Jewish leadership conference headlined by Ben Shapiro, Barry Weiss, and Dan Senor, titled Can Jews Save the West? Sean finishes with this. If any government should be funding this group, it should be the government of Israel, not the United States. Close quote. I agree completely, Sean. Rand is a Make America Great America First president, and all he has done is push Israel to the forefront. He is Make Israel Great Again and not MAGA. Such a disappointment. So sad. Here's something that's just infuriating. This was in the Western Journal written by Samuel Short. A French woman was fined 1,000 euros for saying, quote, the main danger to women in France is black, African, and Arab immigrant men, close quote. She is an activist. She is a YouTuber. She is a commentator. And I know I'm going to butcher her name because I don't speak French other than Fry. Thay de Escoffon is this French lady. In 2022, as she was going to her home, her apartment, she claimed a Tunisian migrant entered her apartment building and her apartment and kept her there for 20 minutes. He tried to sexually assault her, and she ran to the police. The police told her it's going to be hard to track this guy down because there are 6,000 cases just like it. Keep that in the back reaches of your mind. 6,000 cases. She went on French television. She told her story. And then she had the audacity to post this appearance on X. And that's when the trouble started for her. She received a summons. The summons said she'd been charged with public insult against a person or a group of persons on account of their origin, ethnicity, race, or religion. She was sued by DILCRA, a French anti-racist organization. The prosecutor claimed she was playing victim for social media attention. Get this, the prosecutor said, quote, "It was a poor incident to justify hate speech," close quote. Typical loony leftist talking points. They also said that her comments had no place in their democracy. What a joke. They wanted to put her in prison. Her initial sentence was €3,000 fine and 6 months in prison. But ultimately it was reduced down to a €1,000 fine. The most dangerous for a woman in France, black, African, and Arab immigrant men. The cop said there are 6,000 cases, just like hers. Was she telling the truth? She got fined €1,000 for telling the truth. But the looniness that has enveloped England, Ireland, now Spain, France, Germany, they're punishing the citizens, the natural born citizens of these countries, for speaking out against these immigrants who are running roughshod over the law-abiding taxpayers, committing heinous crimes, and nothing is being done about it. And then if you speak up about it, they arrest you. How ridiculous. But that looniness is coming to this country. It's not going to get any better anytime soon. Came across this on Blabberbuzz, written by Viktor Smirnov. And he says that NBC News managed to turn a straightforward Supreme Court ruling on transgender athletes into an ideological sensitivity exercise. And they had basically what boils down to an on-air trigger warning. This is Craig Melvin. He is a journalist at NBC. Listen to the lunacy coming out of this guy's pie hole, and then I'll continue with the article. This is crazy.
Just a quick note here. The terms that we're using here during our reporting, biological male, biological female, the High Court put those terms in quotations in their decision and their dissent. But just so you know, we're using those terms from the decision itself, biological male, biological female.
A trigger warning. Does that not reaffirm my stance that this is a mental health issue? NBC News had to issue a trigger warning to the lunatics that think that they're a chick trapped in a man's body or a dude trapped in a chick's body. It's idiocy. So they were reporting that the Supreme Court had allowed state bans of transgenderism in sports to remain in place. The segment further insists that more deference was owed to what is called a deeply personal issue affecting a small number of people, subtly implying that the rights and safety of female athletes are secondary. The author of this article says Melvin should consult both Genesis 1, Genesis 5, Matthew 19, that affirm the existence of male and female as created categories. Not the 769,000 that all these loony leftists seem to think that permeate our society. Male and female. Two categories. But this minor stylistic choice is one of the subtle ways that controlled media advances the worldview on sex and gender being pushed by the loony left. I've said it over and over again, and I'll continue to say it. They are using sleight of hand when they report the news. They are changing the phraseology to propagandize instead of tell the news. And I don't go to conservative news sites because they lean right. I go mainly because I'm looking for unbiased news. Now, of course, there are going to be sites that have bias. A number of them that I go to are pro-Israel. Not going to lie. They push Israel first agenda too. But a number of times, if you're looking for it, if you're looking for it, you can disseminate the buzzwords that each side is using to sway public opinion. And since the loony left seems to have a stranglehold on televised media, even Fox, then the stylizing of these reporters, if you pay attention, you'll catch it. And, you know, it's funny because I'll be sitting watching local news with Leslie and I'll go, oh, did you hear that? And then it's on the DVR. I'll rewind it so she can hear it. She missed it. I caught it because I'm looking for it. And you can do the same thing. It's so idiotic how they're trying to propagandize each and every one of us. This was an article in Western Journal by Samuel Short. And this one aggravates me to the very core. We already know that Minnesota is pro-Muslim, pro-Somali, but it didn't stop there. No, this time it was in Buffalo, New York. Wow. Buffalo announced two things in a 24-hour period. First, there was not going to be a fireworks display on the 4th of July. If there is a fire hazard, like we have a burn ban here in Central Texas because we are hot and dry. Completely understand. I hate fireworks on the 4th of July because of the fact it's usually hot and dry and we're sitting in a tinderbox. So if they canceled 4th of July fireworks because of a fear of wildfires, 100% supportive. But if they did it because they did not want to be pro-America, I have a problem. Secondly, Buffalo wanted to wish everybody a happy Somali Independence Day. That's right. July 1, 1960, Somalia declared its independence from Italian and British colonialism. Good for them. But a member of city council was in a group that raised the Somali flag above city hall. This is public officials that everybody puts in office. And if you don't vote, you could be part of the reason that idiots like this are in office. Get a better candidate. Run yourself. Local politicians. We need to start at the grassroots. But a city council member helped raise this Somali flag over the city hall in Buffalo. And Somalia is a prime example of democracy, peace, and harmony, isn't it? Well, let's look. Well, they fought a war with Ethiopia from 1977 to 1978. By 1998, a civil war had broke out that saw 50,000 deaths. They call the period from December 1991 to March 1992 as a catastrophe. In Mogadishu, 25,000 people died with 1.5 million fleeing the country. A period of clan cleansing ensued, along with a drought and disruptions in food supply lines. Another 250,000 people died. Yeah, we need to be raising a Somali flag. But it wasn't just Buffalo. It also reached Columbus, Ohio. They tried to raise a Somali flag as well. There was, at least in Columbus, Ohio, public outrage. Goodness. When are people going to learn? We are so manipulated by the propaganda machine that is the television. People need to turn it off. Well, here's one. This was a Gateway Pundit written by Mike Lachance. Lee McGowan is a contributor to CNN, and it appears she is exhausted hearing stories about illegal immigrants committing crimes like killing American citizens. There was a conservative contributor on this panel by the name of Brianna Lyman, who is trying to make a point about what the liberal media covers and chooses not to cover. She made this comment. It was an example of a woman in Massachusetts who was strangled by an illegal immigrant. And that's when McGowan rolled her eyes at the mention of it. It breaks down into utter chaos. It was about 4 minutes long, but it's only 22 seconds that we need to hear. But you'll hear Breonna Lyman make a comment that is truthful.
Well, temporary does mean temporary. So eventually this individual may have been ordered to be removed. And I think it's kind of insulting that we're talking about this immigrant instead of Breonna Connolly from Massachusetts, who was strangled last week by an illegal alien. Why is the focus never, why is the focus? It's exhausting for you because your daughter wasn't the one strangled.
Oh my God.
It's not exhausting for the parents of Americans who watch their children get murdered by illegal aliens.
Americans are watching their children get murdered by illegal aliens. There are family members who have lost loved ones to illegal alien criminals. But, I'm sick and tired. I'm exhausted here. Oh my God, I'm tired of hearing this. This was a panel discussion on the death of Pierre Damas Bell, a Haitian-born college student. He's in Ohio, and his family said that he died by suicide because he had an ankle monitor put on after Trump revoked temporary protected status. They said he walked right into the interstate and got hit by a car and died. That's what they originally talked about. But when Breonna Lyman mentioned the woman in Massachusetts dying, she was interrupted by McGowan, and then everybody went nuts. They're supporting these illegal aliens over American citizens. And this, in a nutshell, exposes how controlled media feels about the entire debacle that was illegal immigration. They're tired of hearing about all the crimes being committed by illegal aliens. I'm tired of them doing it. I want to finish with this on the first half. There was a man wielding a machete here in Texas. He was dragging a woman down the street after they had gotten into an argument. A good Samaritan heard this ruckus. He came out of his house and he said, "Stop, let her be." Well, this genius with a machete decided he was going to take care of this good Samaritan, except the Samaritan had a gun. This happened around 10:30 at night. Police were called from Fort Worth. When they arrived, they saw a male with a gunshot wound. The responding officers, along with Fort Worth firefighters, provided medical care right there on the scene. He was taken to the hospital, and he died. Witnesses said the male in question had been involved in a verbal argument with a woman that turned physical. The man who shot this criminal, he remained at the scene after the shooting. He cooperated fully with the police. Did you hear about that one on your news? I didn't. I don't know, I just stumbled across it. Good guys with guns coming to the aid of a woman who is being dragged down the street by an idiot wielding a machete. You know, me and my buddies, we have a phrase that we use, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. The good thing about this, and other witnesses had said that this guy had terrorized the neighborhood for quite some time. And I say on the good side of this is there's no court costs and taxpayer monies aren't used to put this guy in a facility where he is guaranteed three hots and a cot for however long they decide to stick him in jail or prison. Because we know the liberal judges are going to let him out. Well, we got overcrowding. This guy was a menace to society. I'm glad that we had somebody brave enough to defend this woman and protect her from another criminal who could have done God knows what with this woman. That's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for giving me some of your time. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I have got an outstanding two-hour documentary entitled Good Guys with Guns, How an Armed Citizenry Deters Tyranny and Atrocities. History tells us governments have killed over 262 million of their citizens in the past century alone. Gun-free zones are actually murder magnets owing to the confidence shooters gain for knowing they have helpless victims. Scientific American says 1 in 6 Americans are on psychotropic drugs. Which psychotropic drugs are most popular with mass shooters? Is there a connection between Big Pharma's product and mass shootings? Or are guns the problem? Why does the deep state, Big Pharma, and the mainstream media gloss over the potential side effects of these psychotropic drugs? Is profitability so much more important? Do mass shootings and other atrocities advance the globalist agenda? Well, experts, such as criminologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, and clergy, seem to have no answers. Yet, the gun control lobby has what they consider to be the only answer: disarm the citizenry. But is this wise? Is the reason we keep and bear arms really for target practice and deer hunting? What happens if the gun control lobby gets its way and outlaws all guns? This video is powerful. And if you don't have it in your library, you need to get your copy today. Good Guys with Guns, over 2 hours on DVD. We're only asking $25. Please add $6 shipping and handling, which will make your total $31 for Good Guys with Guns. You can order your copy by calling us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use these charge cards at our secure shopping cart. Just go to powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Good Guys with Guns right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $31 postpaid for Good Guys with Guns. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. Today we are discussing secrets. We are up to volume number 359. That's a whole lot of things that controlled media will never bring to your attention. I mentioned the tranny that declared a jihad, a Muslim holy war against Make America Great Again supporters. Well, in Tucson, Arizona, there was a shooting. This was on September 1st. Happened about 12:30 in the morning. It was in the parking lot of Venture Inn, a gay bar. There were two men killed in the attack. The suspect was transported to hospital with life-threatening injuries. where he was pronounced dead shortly after. Tucson police identified Usman Cisse as the shooter. Cisse, I don't know if he was here legally or illegally, but Cisse was born in the Gambia, where 95% of Gambians are Muslim. They have not been able to confirm his background at this time. But police did say he had a note that listed other LGBTQ associated businesses, had no known connection to the victims, and the search of his residence turned up another note indicating he acted alone and targeted people out of hatred towards the LGBTQ community. The Tucson police is investigating this homicide as a hate crime. He didn't cut their heads off, but he did shoot them. I think the gay nightclub in Florida, maybe Miami, wasn't that shooter a Muslim? But that doesn't make sense, because the Mos and all the libtards love Muslims. They want them over here. Obama brought in over 300,000 from Somalia. Now they got call to prayer going off in Dearborn 5 times a day. No church bells, but you'll hear the minaret calling them to prayer 5 times a day. Yeah, the Muslims love America because it's a target-rich environment. Oh, let's go to Los Angeles. Karen Bass, she always provides nuttiness to kind of lighten the mood, I guess. She has declared Los Angeles not only a sanctuary city for illegal immigrants, but now she has claimed it a sanctuary city for thousands of unlicensed street food vendors. These people are operating without certification from the health department, without permits and licenses from the city. Bud Bass ordered the LA Police Department to stop issuing criminal citations to these unpermitted vendors. Her office told the California Post that the mayor, quote, stands firmly with street vendors, close quote. So they're going to stop issuing citations to these people operating a food business illegally, while law-abiding citizens are operating restaurants and food cart operations under heavy regulatory and financial burdens. The mayor's office added that supporting LA street vendors is more important than ever, given ongoing attacks by ICE. Oh, yeah, here we go. Now we're turning it into an actual racist event. So if you're here in the country illegally and you're running an unlicensed business, City Hall's going to look the other way. If you're a legal resident or a citizen, you have to comply or they will take you down. According to Breitbart, there are estimated 50,000 vendors operating across LA, and fewer than 700 have active city permits. Only 53 are food vendors. 50,000 and only 53 are food. If you've seen pictures, you can see tents all over, canopies all over the place. There are grills that are spewing some kind of smoke. There are makeshift cooking stations. They're on sidewalks. They're in business districts. And they're right alongside these homeless encampments with litter everywhere. But if you see it, this streetscape reminds you of third world countries more so than an American metropolis. A major one. LA is huge. Under current city law, anyone selling food or merchandise on sidewalks or in parks must obtain a city vending permit, and it has to be renewed annually. Food vendors are also required to secure a county health permit. They have to meet basic standards such as refrigeration, sanitation stations, and other common sense safeguards that other restaurateurs and street vendors are compelled to follow. But as Breitbart was looking at this, they found tons of these street vendors didn't even have rudimentary food safety equipment. LA County officials are embracing the same hands-off approach as City Hall. The health department has suspended all enforcement of thousands of non-compliant street food vendors who have proliferated with the massive influx of illegals under the Biden administration. So, by the county health department suspending enforcement, the idiocy is just, it's so blatant to anybody with eyes to see. But in 2025, there were 3,000 food poisoning complaints reported in the county. The problem is, if you get food poisoning from one of these unlicensed street food vendors, there's no recourse. These operators they're not insured. They are difficult to track. They vanish before any legal or financial accountability can be imposed. And residents are fed up, and they're starting to vent their frustration at the perceived collapse of equal enforcement. I don't blame them. I'd be peeved. I have a hard time buying from street food vendors in the first place. But if I don't see a license, they're not getting a dime. There is a hot dog operator, a gourmet hot dog operator, operating legally. His name is Anthony DeEugenio, and he said his annual revenue at his West Hollywood location has dropped from $100,000 a year to $30,000 because of the illegal competitors, many of which are controlled by Latin gangs. He says his operating costs exceed $1,000 a year for insurance, tax permits, and related expenses, including $750 for the operating permit alone. Oh, but it would be racist if we enforced the sanitation laws on these illegal aliens just trying to get by. They're just trying to make a buck. You got to have a heart. We're giving them free housing. We're giving them free food that they're cooking and selling. We're giving them free phone, free electricity, free health care, free education for their children. You got to have a heart. You can't be so heartless. You just got to let them be them. The taxpayers are going to get fed up. What happens if every taxpayer quits paying and they start operating illegally? Are they going to start cracking down on everybody or just the Americans? Seems to me there should be a class action lawsuit. Oh, but the government is exempt from being sued. I forgot. What a nice loophole to have, right? Goodness. Well, I don't know if you recall last month on Secrets, I talked about this program in Chicago where they put up 7,000 signs on buses and rail cars, and they were telling all the thugs and the criminals that they were going to crack down on the violence on mass transit there in Chicago. It's a brand new initiative, and it's going to stop all the criminals from being criminal. The sign says, quote, "Violence on the CTA will not be tolerated. The Cook County State's Attorney's Office will prosecute and seek pretrial detention for all violent offenses on public transit," close quote. And I bring that up because it's a new program, and maybe the criminals can't read, so they haven't been educated. But there was an article in Western Journal. A 54-year-old Chicago bus passenger was approached on the bus. Three punks started taking items like this guy's necklace and beating up on him on the bus. Well, this would-be victim reached into his bag and he pulled out a knife. Yep. 911 was called for reports on a man with a knife And when police arrived, they realized that this was a situation of self-defense. There was a knife recovered at the scene. He stabbed one of them. Didn't read the sign. I can't believe it. They're going to prosecute thugs beating up and stealing people on mass transit in Chicago. While they were talking to this gentleman, 911 call came in. And the guy said that his brother had been stabbed in the hand. His brother was 13. The police found the 13-year-old, his older brother, and another person at the scene. And they recovered the victim's stolen necklace. Now, violence on mass transit in Chicago is down from last year, which is a good thing. But I think they've got probably right around 600 incidents so far in 2026. That's a sad state to say that it's down from last year at this same time. Almost 600 incidents of criminals being criminal on a mass transit system. Maybe they need to put signs more prevalent. Maybe on the side of buses and all over the bus stops and at the rail yard stops. And because I know they got elevated trains, maybe they need to have billboards beside the train line so that people can see. And maybe those that can't read will have somebody read it to them. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. You know, I can tell you how to fix it. You put these thugs in prison. You don't let them have bail. You put them in prison. Let them sit there. If they're going to be a bane to society, they don't need to be in it. Get a real job. Take care of yourself. Pay your taxes. Be a good citizen. It's amazing what you can do if you put a little sweat equity into something instead of robbing people. But that's just me. This is an article that was in Daily Caller back in January. I hang on to a lot of these. But there is a class action lawsuit that was filed by Do No Harm that accused the UCLA Medical School of using race as a factor in admissions. Now, I thought Trump was getting rid of these DEI programs. But I've talked about this in the past. When DEI is involved with undereducated people getting into the medical field, they could be your doctor. And I've joked in the past and said, what do you call a guy that graduates last from medical school? They call him doctor too. But instead of being merit-based, we worry more about filling quotas. It's goodness, it's going to lead to catastrophic issues in the health field. And UCLA Medical School using race as an admission factor scares me to pieces. The Department of Justice joined the lawsuit, and they challenged the constitutionality of these practices. They asked the court to prohibit the school permanently from in any way considering race in its admissions decisions. Do we want to lower standards? I mean, Biden did the same thing with their traffic controllers. Those who were highly qualified were just kicked to the curb because they were probably white males. Personally, I don't care any whit about the color of the skin of the guy who is in charge of getting my plane from point A to point B safely. I don't care the color of the skin of my personal physician or any surgeons that I might have to see in the future. I could care less. I care more about their qualifications. I care more about their history. And I learned something about the health industry. If you can get a group of nurses off the record at a hospital to tell you what doctors to avoid, and I know that they're not going to cut their nose off despite their face, okay? But if you can gain their trust, their confidence, those are the people, the nurses, that will tell you what doctors are the best and which ones to avoid. There you go. This comes from Tyler Durden over at ZeroHedge.com. A Texas LGBT judge who had a history of clashing with authorities over her activism was arrested and charged after she allegedly handcuffed and held a defense attorney captive in her jury box for the crime of arguing for the right to confer with her client during a probation hearing. Yep. The judge. San Antonio, Bexar County. Her name is Rosie Speedlin Gonzalez. She was indicted on a felony charge of unlawful restraint by a judicial officer and a misdemeanor official oppression. But this is not Gonzalez's first run-in with the law. In 2022, she was fined for bringing a loaded rainbow-painted gun through San Antonio International Airport in her carry-on luggage. Good for me, not for thee, right? A gun. Even though it's painted in rainbow. Oh, how cute. It's still a firearm. We're not allowed to carry those in our carry-on luggage. I guess unless you're a judge and you think you have rights that others don't. In 2019, right after she took the bench as the first openly gay judge in Bexar County, she was sanctioned for pasting her courtroom, office, and robes with gay pride flags in violation of the Texas Code of Judicial Conduct. Former staff members of the court report that the judge created a hostile work environment. Go figure. They accused Gonzalez of erratic and aggressive behavior. They accused her of being unstable and prone to violent outbursts. How did she get a judgeship in the first place? Riddle me that, Batman. What is the mental health of this judge? How can she be impartial? Aren't judges supposed to be impartial? But if she's a woke activist with outbursts of aggressive behavior and a hostile work environment, is she a psychopath? You have to ask that question. Researchers suggest that high narcissistic and psychopathic traits are attracted to certain forms of political and social activism, which they use as a vehicle to satisfy their own ego-focused needs. So they use activism as a shield from scrutiny when engaged in otherwise destructive behaviors. But how can we continue to allow these biased people in positions of power in the name of so-called equity? Goodness. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts. This was in the Gateway Pundit, written by Christina Layla. Democrat State Rep Dexter Sharper was charged with defrauding the federal government by falsely claiming unemployment while he earned an income. He collected nearly $14,000 in emergency COVID benefits while he was earning money. He's a Georgia Democrat state rep. U.S. Attorney Theodore Hertzberg said, quote, "When government officials lie to take money and do it while holding an elected office, it violates the trust of citizens and weakens faith in our elected government," close quote. Well, I will tell you this, Theodore. Every politician that I've come across or read about or studied or listened to is about worthless. There has to be a certain amount of narcissism involved to run for state rep or federal government rep, senator. You hear about the shenanigans that these representatives in Congress pull in D.C., where they're sexually harassing staff. Are we polluted with mentally challenged individuals who, for whatever reason, convince us to vote for them? This is not the constitutional republic that our forefathers envisioned. Not by a long shot. We got guys lying, taking money just because. Well, the federal government's going to give it to me. Why not? Yeah, I can forge this document. I'll lie a little here. They're not going to catch me. Stupid. Got this from Christian Post, written by Ryan Foley. New York State agreed to a settlement after 4 years of litigation. New York's Democratic Attorney General Letitia James, a peach, and the Commissioner of the New York State Division of Human Rights, Denise Miranda, have been ordered not to enforce several provisions of New York's anti-discrimination laws against Emily Carpenter Photography. The state will pay $225,000 in attorney's fees for Carpenter's lawsuit, which stemmed from her concern that New York State would require her to provide services for same-sex weddings despite her religious objections. The judge also ruled the state can't prohibit Carpenter from adopting her desired beliefs and practices policy and sharing it on her website, social media, or in conversations with prospective clients. Now, she did not directly face litigation because she wouldn't do same-sex weddings. But there are other business owners across America who have had legal battles because they declined to participate in same-sex weddings due to religious beliefs. There was a Christian couple in Oregon faced $135,000 in fines because they wouldn't make a same-sex wedding cake. There was a florist in Washington State paid $5,000 to end litigation from her objection to providing flowers to a same-sex wedding. I keep coming back to it, and I will continue to say this. When the Supreme Court legislated from the bench legalizing gay marriage, they violated our Constitution. They are not to legislate from the bench. But that said, when they legalized same-sex marriage, that community of individuals did not want to stop there. No, they wanted to destroy the nuclear family, the church, America as we knew it. That was the goal. It didn't stop with same-sex marriage. Then it moved on to transgenderism. If a dude wants to wear a dress and be called Sheila, we have to accept it. No, we don't. If he wants to change his pronouns to they, them, we have to accept it. No, we don't. That's a mental health issue. And the next thing that they are going to push to legalize will be pedophilia. It's on the horizon, and they continue to push this despicable abuse of children. This is the entire agenda of the LGBT community. Destroy the family unit. It doesn't get any more base than that. Now, I did joke that the people who supported gay marriage were lawyers, divorce lawyers in particular, because they were going to make bank. You know, it bothers me when I hear people say, God bless America. There is no way in Hades that God would bless the mess that we have created. We kill babies. We allow sodomy to be legal. We go against everything that we are commanded to do in the Bible. No, God can't bless America. He can bless individuals. I want to thank you for praying for this ministry, for me, for Sandra. I want to thank you for your continued support financially for this ministry. And I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.